I believe the Bible. I believe the King James Bible. I believe the Bible when it says there's a heaven, I believe there's a heaven. And when the Bible says there's a hell, I believe there's a place called hell. Hell is no figment of somebody's imagination. It is no myth of a bygone age. Hell is a real, literal place. The Bible tells us that hell is a place of torment, a place of darkness, a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth, a place where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched, a place that is smokes of torment ascended up day and night forever and ever. And did you ever stop and think that the Bible actually tells us more about hell than it does about heaven? If there's no hell, then the Bible is not the Word of God. If there's no hell, then Christ is not the Son of God, but a liar, because Christ talked more about hell than anyone else did in the Bible. In the New Testament, there are 27 books. There are 264 chapters. In the New Testament, 234 times, almost one time per chapter, God mentions a place of judgment and eternal punishment. Now, I don't know about you, but if I was traveling on a 27-mile road and there were 234 signs up along that road that says, this road is dangerous, this road is going to lead to death, I don't know about you, but if I was on a road like that and saw that many signs, I'd turn around. I'd go a different way. And that's what I want to do this morning. This morning, I want to encourage you, if you're not saved, to get off the wide road that leads to destruction and get on the narrow way that leads to life. Now, I know that when I preach about hell, there are some people that are going to say, you ought not to preach about hell. You ought to preach about the love of God. You ought to preach about the grace of God. You ought to preach about the mercy of God. I just want to tell you this morning, I'm glad you're not God. Because if there was no hell, we wouldn't know how much God loved us. If there was no hell, we wouldn't know anything about grace. If there was no hell, we'd know nothing about mercy. And if we're going to be true to God, if we're going to be true to the Word of God, I need to tell you on occasion about hell and warn you to stay out of it. Now, before I get to my message, let me just reason with you for just a second. I believe in hell not only because the Bible says it, but because I believe in hell because all the laws of logic demand it. Here's what I mean by that. In life, we separate those who keep the law from those who break it. We do that for the safety and the protection of those that abide by the law. If today we opened all the doors of the jails and penitentiaries and we let all the criminals that were behind those doors go, your life and your property would not be safe. So it's absolutely necessary, it's absolutely logical to separate those that break the law from those that keep the law. Hell is the penitentiary of heaven. It separates those who have rejected and broken God's law and rejected Christ and disobeyed the gospel from those who have obeyed God's law and walk in his ways. In this life, we separate those that are sane from those that are insane for the safety and protection and the well-being of the sane. If today, and I know it's a sickness, but if today we opened all the doors of those places that kept those people that are not right mentally, we would our life would not be safe. So it's absolutely necessary and logical to separate those that are in their right mind from those that are not in their right mind. Hell is the same asylum of heaven. It separates those who've taken the mind of Christ from those who are insane enough to bear their own sins, reject the Savior, and reject what he did for them on Calvary. In this life, we separate the dead from the living. Now, it breaks our heart when somebody that we love dies, but we bury them. We don't keep them around the house. If we kept their bodies around the house, it would be unhealthy and soon be unpleasant. Therefore, it's necessary and logical to separate the dead from the living. Hell is the graveyard of heaven. It separates those that are dead in their trespasses and sin from those who are alive in Christ. So this morning, real briefly, I know what time it is, but I want to take Luke chapter 16 and the story that's in Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16 that we read from, this is not a parable. It doesn't say like unto. It says there was a certain man. It was an event. And by looking at the event described in Luke chapter 16, the account that Jesus told of the rich man and Lazarus, we learn four things about hell. Number one, hell is not annihilation. In fact, we can't annihilate anything. Say, well, yes, I can, preacher. I can annihilate something. I can take a piece of wood and I can burn it. And I've annihilated that wood. Yes, but if you weigh the ashes and the gases that are released, you'll find that you haven't annihilated anything. You've just changed the form. You haven't destroyed anything. Death is not annihilation. When we die, our existence doesn't end. There is a part of us, our soul, that will live forever. It'll either live with God or it'll live apart from God. We read from verse 19, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. In the Garden of Eden, the cloaks or the coats that Adam and Eve made out of those fig leaves did not cover their sin, and the rich clothes of the rich man did not cover his sin either. So there was a certain rich man that was dressed in finery, ate well every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores. He desired to eat the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. The dogs came and licked his wounds, his sores. As far as we can tell, the only doctor that Lazarus had availability to were the dogs that came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments. Death is not the end. Death is not annihilation. Death is just the beginning of eternity. Death is a doorway. That doorway goes to heaven or it goes to hell. There is no other alternative. One or the other. Heaven or hell. Don't tell me there's not a hell. Jesus said there was a hell. His word says there is a hell. I believe there is a hell. And I believe that every person that has rejected Christ will spend an eternity in hell. Number two, hell is the immediate destination of those that die without Christ. The Bible says for the Christian to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I believe when a lost person dies, they just don't go to sleep to awake at the last judgment. I believe that they go to hell, just like this rich man did. There's no halfway house. There's no place of probation. There's no purgatory. You don't leave this life and go anyplace else. If you're not saved, you will leave this life and you will go to hell. It's what the Bible says. You ever notice the Bible says the Lazarus died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. It says about the rich man, he died and was buried. And buried. You know what that says to me? He had a fancy funeral. He went to the first church where the preacher stood up and told people all about the good things that he did, about all the money that he gave away, about all the boards that he served on, about all the good, kind deeds. And all his friends were there in their fancy cars and their fancy clothes. I want to tell you something. What you do in this life, what you give in this life, the good deeds that you do doesn't make any difference about whether you go to heaven or hell. The only thing that makes the difference is what you did with the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. If you don't come to Jesus Christ, you've chosen to walk away from God. You've chosen to walk away from his gospel. You've chosen to walk into hell. And if you die without Jesus Christ this morning, you'll be 1 second here and the next second in hell. Apart from God. Number three, in hell, you retain all your senses. He could still see. He could still hear. He could still feel. He could still taste. And he could remember. I know that's not a sense, but I'm just throwing it in as an extra one. Because the Bible says, in hell, he cried out to God for mercy. He said, God, be merciful to me. Just send that beggar Lazarus. He laid at my gate, and maybe I fed him sometimes with the crumbs that came from my table. I see him there with you. Father Abraham, would you just have him dip the tip of his finger in water and come touch my tongue? It's in torment in these flames. Don't try to tell me that hell's not a place of fire. I mean, here's Jesus telling an account of this man that went to hell, and he was burning in a fire that never went out. Said, just him dip the tip of his finger. Abraham says, can't do that. There's a great gulf that separates us. And he said, son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. Let me just bring this up to date. If you die today and you go to hell, and you pray to God and say, God, have mercy upon me. Just send me a little bit of water so I can quench my thirst from these fires that I'm burning in. And God says to will say to us, just to sort of bring it up to date, hey, remember that you lived in the United States of America, where you had the freedom to go to church every Sunday and every Wednesday and every time the church was open. You lived in the United States of America, where on the radios and the TV, there were gospel preachers. Not all of them true. Not all of them stick straight to the Bible. But some of them preached the gospel. You could hear the gospel on the radio. You could hear the gospel on the TV. You had a chance to get saved. Hey, remember that church you went to on occasion? That church down there in Clio named Fellowship Baptist Church? You went there every now and then, but every time you went, you heard the preacher stand up and tell you about heaven and hell. You heard him tell you about the love of God that God had for sinners. You heard him tell that Jesus was the only way to heaven. Hey, you remember that? You remember that? There's no mercy in hell. There's no second chance when we get to hell. We'll remember all the chances that we had to come to Jesus Christ. We'll remember all the times that we said no. We'll remember all the times that we rejected the gospel. We'll remember and we'll regret. Abraham said to this rich man, now Lazarus is comforted and you are tormented. And then number four, there are no second chances in hell. That great gulf exists. Let me ask you, who caused that gulf? Who caused the gulf between heaven and hell? Was it God? No. It was man. It was man. Because you see, God made a way across that gulf. That way was the cross. That way was his son, Jesus Christ. We got our sin nature from Adam. We sinned when we first made that decision to do wrong, when we knew the difference between right and wrong. We came under the condemnation of sin. The wages of sin is death. And God knew there was no way out for us. And so he made a way out. That way out was the Lord Jesus Christ. That way out was the cross of Calvary. That way out was the empty tomb. That way out was the gospel as we preach it, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That gulf that exists between heaven and hell was not caused by God. It was caused by man rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did on Calvary. You reject Jesus, you tear down the only bridge that gets you back to God. There is no second chances. I don't care how many prayers are offered up on your behalf. I don't care how many masses are said for you. I don't care how much money is paid for you. If you die and go to hell, you will live there forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. It will never end. Then notice what the rich man said. He said, I pray then, Father, that thou send Lazarus to my father's house, where I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Isn't it a shame that the lost in hell have more concern for the lost than we do? Isn't it a shame that this lost man in hell had a concern for his five lost brothers? Look, if you have a brother that doesn't know Jesus Christ, you tell that brother about Jesus Christ. Say, well, you don't know my brother. I don't need to know your brother. I know your brother needs the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. If you know him, you can tell him. If your sister doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ, you tell your sister. If your mom and dad doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ, you tell your mom and dad. If your children don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, you tell your children. If your neighbor doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ, you tell your neighbor. If that person that works next to you doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ, you tell that person that works next to you. We have a responsibility to tell those that don't know Jesus Christ that there is a heaven, there is a hell, that Jesus is the one that makes the difference. He's the only hope that they have to stay out of hell. If we could go to the rich man this morning, if we could walk into hell and ask him a question, if we could go to that rich man and say, hey, did you plan to be here? I mean, when you were living your life, did you plan to end up in this place of torment? Did you plan to end up apart from God? Did you plan to end up in this place called hell? You know what I think he'd say? I think he'd say, no, I didn't plan to be here. I just put it off. I just put it off. Tomorrow, he promised his conscience. Tomorrow, I mean to believe. Tomorrow, I'll think as I ought to. Tomorrow, my Savior receive. Tomorrow I'll conquer the habits that hold me from heaven away. But ever his conscience repeated one word and one word only. Today. Today. Tomorrow, tomorrow, tomorrow. Then day after day it went on. Tomorrow, tomorrow, tomorrow. Till youth like a vision was gone. Till age and his passions had written the message of fate on his brow. And forth from the shadows came death with a pitiless syllable, now. What will ye do with Jesus? The call comes loud and clear. The solemn words are sounding now in your listening ear. Immortal life's in the question, and joy through eternity. Then what will ye do with Jesus? Oh, what will your answer be? This morning, I'm going to make it hard for you to put off. This morning, I'm going to tell you that if you leave this place without receiving Jesus Christ, you have decided. You haven't put it off. You haven't postponed decision. You have decided to reject Jesus Christ. That's what you're doing. If you're here and you're not saved and you walk out that door without Jesus Christ, you are deciding to trample the gospel, to trample the blood of Christ, to trample everything that God's done for you to keep you out of hell. That's what you're deciding. So you're on this road. There's signposts all along the way. This road is dangerous. It leads to death. Turn around. Turn around. Come to Christ. He's the only hope that we have for heaven. He's the only one that can keep us out of hell. Let's pray together. Father, thank you. Thank you for making it so clear and plain. Hell's just not a figment of somebody's imagination. It's a real place, a place that you prepared for Satan and his demons, but a place that you will send all those that reject Jesus Christ for all eternity. I pray if there's even one in our midst this morning that has never received Christ, that they would think about eternity. They would think about an eternity in hell apart from you, and they would come to Christ this morning. They would come to the one who died and paid for their sins. They would come to the one who offers them eternal life. Holy Spirit, work on their heart, work on their mind, work on their soul. Show them there is no other way happened, that Jesus Christ. I know most of us are here, are Christians this morning. Father, help us rejoice this morning. As Mary Ann sang a moment ago, we've been forgiven. Our sins have been washed away, all because of the blood of Jesus Christ. We've been forgiven. Help us to rejoice in that. Just bless this time of invitation. Speak to our hearts, Holy Spirit. Help us to do what you instruct us to do. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.